There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 724, April 10th, 2017. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I am doing very good. And I say to all the F1 Weekly familia, greetings and Tsingtao regards. And back to you, Chairman Mao of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, has Mercedes put a stop to Ferrari? Verstappen passes the Ricciardo easily. Hulkenberg making Renault look pretty good. And does Bottas even have a chance? Of course, we want to extend our happy birthday to Dr. Miguel. And we have an interview with IndyCar driver Mikael Allison. And don't forget, F1 Weekly now available on WROCK Radio streaming on WLOR.net, Wednesdays at 11 p.m., Saturdays at 3 p.m. NAS. Welcome back to the beautiful Palatial Studios. How are you? How's everything in your beautiful life?
Well, first thing first, please allow me to say happy birthday and bon dia to Dr. Miguel. All the best to him.
Dr. Miguel has been around since when?
Since he started the podcast.
Yes, El Machismo de Portugal.
Exactly. And, well, to answer your question, I'm doing very good. Always very, very excited after a Formula One weekend. And what a weekend we had. Formula One, IndyCars, MotoGP, World Touring Cars. So I am very, very happy, senor.
Exactly. And what about Le NASCAR?
Yeah, they're always there.
They are always there.
Yes.
So exciting. Anyway, we're here to talk about the Chinese Grand Prix, of course, and the interview with our friend from IndyCar, Mikael Allison. So, Nas, once again, keep up the good work, but there was a little bit of a weather issue, and boy, some people were talking about canceling this race.
Yeah, some were talking about the race on Saturday, and that FIA put a kibosh on that very quickly. But I have to say, this was a great race to watch at 2 in the morning on the right coast, and I had to put an alarm, you know, because they were saying there's 80% chance of rain, and 100% of that 80% fell on Sunday morning before the start of the race. What was your take on this, senor?
My take on it was that, I was a little, I don't know. Apparently rain affects the races today, not like they did in 93. Back in the day, we didn't really give a damn. Now, a lot of tears flow, adds to the rain. In Spain, mainly on the plains. And really, I think we're making a big to-do about nothing.
Yeah, but you know, safety has to be paramount after an unfortunate incident of some years ago. But as far as this race was concerned, sir, this was win number 5 for Lewis in China. And I have to say, with Seb again, second in quali and also second in the race, he is looking very, very quick. What we have now is a failure to dominate by the Benz boys, and with the Ferrari Renaissance, LCH is no longer the cool hand Luke that he has been since the dawn of the hybrid era, and I am really looking forward to a season-long cage rattling between the two, and if the cars are as competitive as they have been, I have a feeling that the way things are going, my two Deutsch marks will be on Seb for the championship, because he does not make as many mistakes as LCH. But then again, a top driver will also up his game when challenged by another top-line driver. My personal logic on this one is very simple. No way on earth will Lewis overhaul a 43-point lead by Seb, but then same can be said about Seb. What is your sourdough baguette theory on this rivalry?
Well, my sourdough baguette theory with fromage on the top and a little moutarde is that, you know, could Mercedes be sandbagging a little bit? That's my biggest problem. Second, this race was great except for one thing. It was a grand slam for Lewis Hamilton. He led from start to finish and got the fastest lap. This tells me something. Mercedes is still dominating. Ferrari needs to get a pole position, and their starts are not that invigorating. I'm not seeing Renault 2006 on these starts, even though that Vettel did pull the Schumacher position.
Well, I have to say this. We are now into 3 minutes of this podcast, and I have not heard about His Royal Highness.
That's because this Royal Highness is fed up and is thinking about Oviedo.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about him because, as always, he's doing a tremendous job. And here he is in his mid-30s or whatever his age is. He and Kimi made their Grand Prix debut same year, 2001. And Kimi has been beyond his sell-by date for a few years now. And here is Nando. Everybody thinks to this day that he is the top-notch, complete package, except that he does not have the package.
It's very frustrating. And I'm telling you, I think the worst part is all the viewers, all the Formula One fans are getting ripped off with Fernando not in a great car.
That is very true. That is very true. And let's see what happens, you know. I will be very happy if an announcement is made by Toto Wolff that Nando is being reunited and feeling so good.
The problem is, Nando has the curse. If he goes to Mercedes next year, because I know it's only two races in the season, but Bottas spinning behind the safety car is not good.
Well, do you remember his second race with Mercedes reminded me of Kovalainen, his fellow Finn, when he did his first race for Renault in Australia. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Flavio saying after the race, we did not have Kobe in the car. Actually, it was his brother. I mean, the performance was so bad. And, you know, one spin is not going to derail his career. But, he really needs to up his game. Otherwise, it will be a one-hit wonder for him at Mercedes.
Well, absolutely. And my point is, I mean, and I don't want to get into too many details about what I think where Fernando should be, but if Ferrari is faster, is Kimi Raikkonen really the right choice? If Mercedes is machismo, is Bottas the right choice? I mean, when you have Fernando's hanging out, feeling good, you know, and you've got a Bottas or a Kimi Raikkonen, shouldn't you be thinking a little bit?
You know, I will not be surprised if Kimi is replaced by Daniel Ricciardo at Ferrari next year.
That's what we want to see. That's what we've been wanting to see. Ricciardo, it sounds Italian, Italian descent, Italian ancestry. He's already got the blessing from the Pope himself. Bravo, 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 prego. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Kimi Raikkonen shouldn't even be in Formula One anymore. Don't get me wrong. I think he qualifies well. But really, I mean, Verstappen is passing Kimi Raikkonen with ease. Verstappen is passing Ricciardo. Verstappen is the machismo. Maybe we should see Verstappen at Ferrari.
No, I think he's locked in into a Red Bull contract. I don't think this is their golden goose for now. But they have a golden goose every 2 years, as you know.
Yeah, well, my golden goose is not golden. It's getting gray hairs. It's got hair in the nostrils, hair in the ears. You know what I'm talking about? Age is catching up with everybody. Let's get on with it.
Yeah. Shall we talk a little bit about the quali?
Yes. Indeed, we should talk about qualifying. I'm just trying to get all of this off my chest, Nasser. This is why I do the podcast. It's really simply therapeutic.
That's what you told me 10 years ago, and I still, you know, benefit from this therapy.
You drank the Kool-Aid, and you continue to sip it.
Yes, exactly. And we don't even have to go to Guyana to do our podcast.
Bravo, bravo, and let's not mention negativity.
Okay, let's go with positivity. Seb again prevented a Mercedes 1-2, but Lewis took his 63rd pole position, now only two shy of Senna's number. And this was sixth pole in a row for LCH. Row two was all Finlandia, Bottas ahead of Kimi. Ricciardo was fifth on the grid. And it was good to see both Williams cars in top 10, Massa 6th and Lance Stroll 10th. And K-Mag finally out-qualified his teammate. K-Mag was 12th and Romain was 19th. And missing from the top 10, which I was really hoping in Q3, was your new low, Max Verstappen.
Well, listen, I mean, he's not my new love, but, you know, I have to admit, the sheets are getting wore out with Fernando at McLaren.
Oh, wow. I'm now thinking in between the sheets.
Exactly. Not in between the buttons.
Yeah. See, that's why we need to do this podcast in the daytime.
Correct.
Yeah, but, you know, I was really hoping that if Max had qualified in the top three, and there was a lot of talk about being in the rain, so I was expecting another Brazil-like performance. But, you know, Verstappen wasted no time in getting into the top tier of the grid after the opening lap.
It was very impressive. I mean, the gentleman started 16th, finished on the podium. I don't care what anybody says, but if there's a replacement for Fernando, he's Dutch. And, you know, I don't know if Oviedo has a sister city in Holland, but they certainly will soon.
Well, you know, he was, I think, 6th after the opening lap.
Yes, it's machismo. I'm telling you, this guy. I don't know. His father never did anything like this.
Yeah, but father also made it to Formula One as a young kid. Father only had one sin, and that he became teammate with Michael Schumacher.
Yes, becoming teammates with Michael Schumacher, always a big mistake.
It's like pressing the new button on your...
Thank you very much.
It is very sad what happens to drivers who end up as teammate to him or... Senna or even LCH. As teammate to LCH. Has anyone survived being a LCH teammate and gone on to win the championship?
I can think of one.
Well, he's still looking for one after 10 years.
Thank you. Gracias, muchacho.
Yeah. That was singer of the day, sir.
Thank you. You know, let's I've decided to open up and have a zinger-free zone.
Oh, wow.
I need a safe place.
Yes. Now, I have to say, you know, Lance Stroll was denied a good showing after being involved in a body slam with the Pink Panther in the hands of Sergio Perez. And interestingly, the race was notable for the lack of stupid penalties we have seen in the past few years. And Mika Salo was the racing referee, and he said on another podcast that starts with B and ends with C, that they are only going to give a penalty if there is a boneheaded move by any of the drivers. So with Paul Tracy and Pastor Maldonado not racing in Formula One, it will be a while before we see a boneheaded move and a penalty.
That's very true. Now, I have to admit, there was a lot of good humor on April Fool's Day when they announced that Fernando was retiring and his replacement was Pastor Maldonado. That was hilarious.
Yes, I think quite a few drivers were retiring on that day. But, you know, I feel sorry for this Antonio Giovinazzi. In a space of 2 weeks, he went from hero to zero, crashing both in quali and race. And I was hoping another good performance should bring him on the radar of Signor Arriva Bene and Il Duce Marchione. It will be very nice to see an Italian driving for Ferrari in 2018. But he now has one more chance to redeem himself, which will be in Bahrain. And we all know what Niki Lauda will say if this combination Giovinazzi at Ferrari does not work out.
Yes, and I was very disappointed and sad for him to have such a great race in Australia and then to spin and crash and hit the wall causing a safety car. Not very impressive.
Yeah, and talking of humor, Niki Lauda is something, you know, now he's saying that at Ferrari they have a Swiss culture because their technical director, Matteo Binotto, I believe is the name of Binotti, he was born in Lausanne, Switzerland. So there you have Nicky again.
Keep up the good work, Nicky Lauda. When are we going to get that interview, Nasser?
You know, interesting question you have, sir. The thing is, you know, in May, I'm trying to make a run to Europa. But, you know, Formula One season is in full swing. But this guy is very approachable. You know, if I cannot get anything going, I will try to get an interview with him at, in Austin, Texas. But then, you know, because of Formula One rules and regulation, we may have to print it only. But, you know, we can always put in a request if we can, you know, since he's an ex-driver, not everybody is running to talk to him. Or you can always ask them, you know, if I can meet you at the hotel. But we'll see, you know. But he's very approachable. I've met him quite a few times. Very nice and easy to deal with.
Right.
Unlike another F1 driver who said to me, without even slowing down, when I asked him if we can do an interview with him someday, and I was not even asking for on the spot, and he says to me, "For the last 3 years, I don't give any interviews, and I don't go to any more races." And sure enough, there he was on the opening at the opening race of the season. But these things happen.
These things do happen. I remember Castro Neves telling us to F-O.
Oh, yeah, that was classic, too.
So, but we've been there. We're veterans.
Yeah, but, you know, to be fair to him, he did not say F-O, but I think that's what he meant.
Yes, I'm just being...
And remember, my classic from that day is you asking Eddie Cheever, what about the championship? And he goes, what about the championship?
Yes, everybody's so friendly to me.
Yeah.
It's my good looks, Nasser. You know that. It's intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, continue with the race.
Yes, Misery Loves Company. I note with interest the performance of the teammates of the winning and second place driver. Kimi very rarely complains, but in China he was on the radio complaining of loss of torque and what the hell is going on? And I was surprised that Ferrari did not say to him, Sebastian is faster than you, and ask for 10-4. You know, if they give him that message, I don't think he's going to respond to that.
I know, but the lack of torque, I mean, it was interesting because he wasn't slowing down, he wasn't pulling over, he didn't lose any places when he was complaining about that. But lack of torque, I mean, you know, I have a lack of torque.
Yeah, but you have top-end speed, right?
That's it. Mine's on the other end.
Yeah, I think what he was having might be some sort of a software glitch or some cutout or whatever. I don't know. But these things do come out in the wash in a few days, you know. And, you know, as far as Felipe Massa is concerned, what can I say about Felipe, baby? Nice guy. He qualified on row 3, which is very good. And then he could only finish 14th after what he said was like driving on ice. So maybe the sun was shining all through the race, just ahead of Lewis and Max's car. Now, do you remember the British Grand Prix some years ago in the rain when Massa spun? I think it was like 5 times.
Yes, we called it Massa and his pirouettes.
Yes, I remember that, sir. So, well, he has at least one more season to go. And looks like I was thinking, man, after the qualifying, that if they put Nando in that Williams, he probably can bring that cat into the top 5 car.
6 tenths?
Something like that, yeah.
It's possible. You know, I think Fernando is getting tired of switching teams and not winning championships. In the end, he's going to do something drastic and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to start making paellas at Fernando's corner paella shack.
Yeah, you know, he can always get a... Well, you know, Mark Webber used to own this restaurant in England. He does not do that anymore. But, you know, I have to say about Fernando and changing teams, the only person who twisted his arm to switch teams was the man in the mirror.
My mirror?
His mirror.
Oh, we both share the same kind of mirror.
Yeah, but it's pretty sad, you know. For me, that it's so hard to believe that a man who would dethrone the Red Baron... And not only that, defend the title against him very successfully, very impressively. It's now without a championship since then. And to see a talent like Kimi Raikkonen have only one championship, it's like, wow, what happened?
Not only that, but to be, I mean, well, it's the saddest thing in the world for him to be at McLaren right now. It's a disaster. Honda's a disaster. And really, I think Fernando should sue Honda for everything they've got.
Yeah, well, they're paying him like $40 million or something like that.
That's not enough.
Well, that's a lot of, pesos there.
You mean pesetas?
Something like that. But moving on to other drivers, K-Mag scored his first points for Haas team by finishing 8th. Good for him as the hombre he replaced, Esteban Gutierrez, did not score any points last year. And teammate Grosjean was the first man outside the points. The Haas car, you know, I think this team will do well.
Yes. I think, well, K-Mag needed to do something.
Yeah, it was
Yes, so he looked good. Finishing 10th was fantastic. And, of course, Romain Grosjean has having some bad luck. I was very happy for him because it was looking pretty terrible.
Yeah, and you know, another kid whose stock is rising is the your hombre, Esteban Ocon. He was 10th for Force India, just behind Sergio Perez. And I think the future is very bright for Esteban Ocon. So far, he hasn't done any dumb mistakes or stupid mistakes. So I think this kid is very talented, which we already know.
Right. Of course, I made a mistake. I guess Kevin Magnussen finished 8th.
Right.
So, yes, Perez 9th, Ocon 10th. But still, in the points, it's always good. It's dollars in the bank.
Yeah, it's a lot of money in the banks for the constructors. Now, what will Esteban Ocon, being French, have to do to be amore numero uno in your corazón?
Mi corazón está para el Fernando at this hora, but, Ocon's going to have to do a lot more than that.
I think he's doing with what he has, keep that in mind.
I understand, but, if you go to Poe, he might be hanging around. You might be able to get an interview.
Yeah, that's what I'm really trying to do, and I'm really interested in talking to this English kid, Lando Norris. We've been following him and talking him for a couple of years now. I think this is the new JB, or even more, frankly speaking.
Let's hope so. I think that's good.
No, this kid, if you win 4 championship in 2 years, and at the age of 17, 18, you're part of McLaren, you got something going.
Absolutely. And I have to admit, I'm very happy that JB, Jenson Button.
Oh, hold on. That's coming up at the end. It's save the best for last.
Really? I was going to spill the beans, but I'll keep it all inside, my brother.
Yeah, please. Thank you. Gracias.
No problem. I'm here to help. I'm here to play the game.
So, yes, the great game.
The great game. So keep up the good work, Nas. Continue, please.
Yeah, I have some notes I put in here. So just let me share here. Ferrari footnotes. Ferrari has quite a bit of history here in Shanghai. The first ever Chinese Grand Prix in 2004 was won by the two-legged Rubinho. And 2 years later, Michael Schumacher scored his final Grand Prix success in Shanghai. And when Kimi won here in 2007, he gave Ferrari their 200th Grand Prix championship win, which was, quite a event for them. LCH he's very popular in China. Did you see him on Saturday going up to the fan, throwing caps and all that?
Yeah, I was a bit nauseous.
No, but that's good. Something like that you would have never seen from Senna or Schumacher.
Oh, I agree. But don't worry. The paddock is going to be opening up soon, American style.
Oh, that's good. As long as there is some common sense and security and, lack of better word, a beat, discipline, then it's all right, the way it has been, Clark. I remember going to every Formula One race at Indy, and the only thing I could see of Michael Schumacher was his red helmet. And, for somebody who has followed Formula One for 40 years, and I'm sure there are many out there who have followed a lot longer than I have, when they go to a race, pay their prices, whatever they are, they should be able to at least take a look at the driver, if not chat or, have cappuccino with them. So that part of Bernie Ecclestone era was really not good. And I remember in 1982, I think I've mentioned this before, I was at Brands Hatch. I was in the pits talking to John Bernard and other McLaren people when Niki Lauda was testing his car. And when he came out, he spoke to a couple of people with the team. Then he was talking to some people in German. I knew who they were. And 10 minutes later, I was chatting with him. It was unbelievable. This is 1982, September. So I don't think things will go back to that being good. But another thing they can do, you know, is like in some countries where they don't have a talking of American style, you know, there won't be any Malaysian Grand Prix starting in after this year, which is now confirmed. And I went there, great place, great track, great people. But man, what's the point in having a race where you feel as a spectator that you're sitting in a Finnish sauna to watch a race? I mean, it was unbelievable. And French Grand Prix is back, German Grand Prix is back. So I'm very happy about these things. I'm sure you are elated.
I'm absolutely elated, Nasser. And I just wanted to mention that pretty soon it'll be like when you go to NASCAR and you can talk to Greg Biffle.
Well, you know, Formula One is a major international event. So if you go to a Formula One race in any of these West European countries or South America here, I mean, there's a big following, so they just cannot have everybody show up and ask for Greg Biffle. But who would be Greg Biffle of Formula One? Pascal Wehrlein?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay, more on LCH in China. Before this race, he had won four times, doing a double for McLaren and also for Mercedes. And after Australia, he has been on the Jean Alesi program, saying he has new motivation and is looking forward to a season-long battle with Ferrari driver, and we know which one. And it's interesting, Clark, since Seb and Lewis came on the scene in 2007, you know, Lewis started the season, Seb came on board in Formula One at the U.S. Grand Prix after the crash of Kubica in Canada. Since then, between them, they have won over half the races, and a total of 7 championships, 4 for Seb and 3 for LCH. And this is going to be a very epic stats between these two drivers and also the rivalry moving forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, it's exciting. But I'm still not convinced that Ferrari is going to be able to put up the fight that they say they are, even though it looks pretty strong right now. Let's just see what happens when we get to Europe.
Yeah, but you know, both of them will be developing cars. But keep in mind, you know, just like Nando, Seb also brings a 6-10th, and you can see his performance compared to Raikkonen.
Absolutely. Raikkonen is not going to be fighting for the championship.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the Red Bull Renegades. The main talk about Renault-powered cars is that a major upgrade is planned for the Canadian Grand Prix in June, which is round 7 of 20 races this season. If all the races are won by Mercedes and Ferrari by that time, which basically means won by Lewis or Sebastian, then chances are not that great we will see first Aussie world champion since 1980 when Jonesy Boy took the title, nor will we see the first ever Dutch Formula One champion this year. Your thoughts on your Red Bull peeps?
Yeah, you know, I mean, why would you even announce that you can't bring an upgrade to the motor until Canada? For me, that's like a negative.
No, but it's reality. I mean, if that's what they're going to do, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think there's plenty wrong with it. If you want to bring an upgrade, don't tell anybody. Bring the upgrade in Canada and let's get down.
Yes.
You know, like Trump says, you don't want to give the enemy, you know, the ammunition.
Yeah, that's an authority on motor racing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's talk about McLaren Honda. If there is anything to talk about, the press is pressing on Honda to take on outsiders to resolve their slow and unreliable pace. Even the name of Mario Illion of Ilmor fame has been mentioned. Till recently, he was assisting Renault after they got thrown under a greyhound by the rulers of the Red Bull Empire, Dietrich Mateschitz and Marco. Sauber, on the other hand, said they will not be changing to Honda engines, as was reported in some sections of the media, that they will do this later year. But the two parties have confirmed that they are talking about engine supply next year. And if Mercedes says sayonara to Honda, then I think Honda will pay Sauber $10-20 million dollars to take their engine because they need to get this thing up to par sooner or later.
I think the biggest problem is you meet the nicest people on a Honda.
Yeah, but that was on a scooter, Honda scooter.
And what's the difference?
Well, the McLaren has four wheels, you know. That's the difference, Clark.
Yeah, but the speed is very similar.
That's very true.
Thank
but
you.
Less reliable on the four wheels right now.
Yes.
Okay, meeting of minds a couple of weeks ago. There was a meeting at the FIA headquarters in Paris, headed by Jean Todt, and attended by all the current engine manufacturers, plus some other reps of other car companies. Apparently, Mr. Stefano Domenicali was there. He now works for, Ducati, which is owned by Audi, which is owned by Volkswagen. Plus, he's in charge of the FIA single-seater commission job, which was previously held by Gerhard Berger. So check this out. The current Formula will last till 2020. The focus for new 2021 is on these items: a desire to maintain F1 as the pinnacle of motorsport technology, future engines to be powerful, simpler, and less costly to develop and produce, and most importantly, which has the blessing of Ross Brawn, improving the sound of the power units. And they really want to bring an independent supplier like Ilmor or Cosworth, so these manufacturers are not charging, you know, up the wazoo for engine. So what do you think? How do you like these items on the agenda?
Question for you,
what kind of engines would you like to see after these Hoover units are sucked out of Formula One in a few years?
I think any engine should be acceptable as long as it's 3 liters, V10s, flat 12s, H16s, anything, as long as it's 3 liters, and it runs on fuel, and if so, regular.
Yeah, and people are loving these fast-looking and fast-going cars, by the way. And in China, you really got the hang of the speed of these things. The passion is back for me after these stupid step-nose Formula One cars and the first-year hybrid sound. Oh, my God.
Yes, they did make us suffer, and we're still suffering a little bit. Let's get back to racing.
Yes. What else now would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about taking a break, getting a glass of water.
And then we do the Motorsports Mondial in the interview?
Absolutely, sir.
Sounds good. Let me get some water too, please.
Thank you. Make sure it's Evian. We'll be back after this brief message.
Thinking of a career in Formula One? Already have a motorsports job, but thinking about jumping into F1? Our team at Motorsports Career Advisor recently finalized the results of our interviews with several top motorsports recruiters and has compiled them into our 2017 Motorsports Resource Guide called The Number One Recruiter-Tested Method to Landing the Interview for Your Dream Job in F1. If you've heard our radio spots before, maybe you don't know that up to 1,000 action-oriented motorsports enthusiasts contact us every month to get our guides. But it was our motorsports recruiter partners that challenged us to go even further. And here's what they convinced us to do. For a limited time, we're giving away a pre-release sample of our 2017 resource guide, The Number One Recruiter-Tested Method to Landing the Interview for Your Dream Job in F1. Get yours now at F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com. F1 is extremely competitive. Be the first to see the guide and jump ahead of your job competition. Go to F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com now for the 2017 pre-released before the countdown expires, and you'll get a sneak peek at a guide that others will soon pay to receive. That's F1RecruiterTestedMethod.com.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call, 850-421-8461, and tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair, right on the corner, right on the price, 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir, and a lot of motorsports action around the world, and we shall start with beautiful, sunny California, the streets of Long Beach. A Long Beach Grand Prix was won by James Hinchcliffe from Canada for Schmidt-Peterson team. Your hero, Sebastian Bourdais, winner of the opening round in St. Petersburg, was second, and Joseph Newgarden was third. He is now driving for Team Penske, so good for him. Very impressive sixth for Ed Jones. This is an English kid who grew up in Dubai and was the king of karting in United Arab Emirates, and last year won the Indy Lights Championship. Bourdais leads the championship with 93 points. Hinchcliffe is now second with 74 points. This is a fantastic race. When I was living in California, I went to most of the races there. And have you ever been to the Long Beach Grand Prix, sir?
Of course. It's exciting and fun. Yeah, the memories.
Yeah, we should take a trip once upon a time. You know, we should do this.
Yes, once our tax returns come in.
There you go.
Thank you.
MotoGP riders were in Argentina. Pole man and defending world champion Marc Marquez crashed out while leading on his Honda. The new numero uno at Ducati, Jorge Lorenzo, also crashed out. Going two for two was Maverick Viñales. His Yamaha teammate, the good doctor Valentino Rossi, was second. Cal Crutchlow from UK was third on a private LCR Honda. Viñales leads the championship with maximum points in races, 50. Rossi is second with 36 points. And now we take the Amtrak to Marrakesh for the opening round of World Touring Car Championship. In race one, Esteban Guerrero was the winner in his Chevy Cruze. Now, this is the kid, I should say a grown man, who also raced here in Indy Lights some years ago. Local lad Mehdi Benani was on the podium in third place. You will like this. He drives a Citroën Elise for Sebastian Loeb Racing.
So exciting.
The second race of the weekend was won by the happiest man after the 2005 U.S. Grand Prix. You know who that was.
El Machismo.
Thiago Monteiro from Portugalistan, driving a Honda Civic. Now, interestingly, Aurelien Panis, son of Olivier Panis, is also racing in this championship with a Honda Civic. Now, a couple of weekends ago, Formula E was in Mexico City, an electrifying win for Lucas de Grassi of Brazil. He came from dead last to end Buemi's run of three wins from first three races. This was a chaotic and wild race. Jean-Éric Vergne was second, and our favorite Sam Bird was third. And finally, this is what I was saying to hold on. We have a major opportunity to give Mr. Brazier a great reason to visit California in August of this year. The one and only JB, also known as Jenson Button, will be driving Emerson Fittipaldi's 1974 championship-winning McLaren M23 at Laguna Seca during the Rolex reunion. And I am told that you have already invited him to breakfast at Flames.
Absolutely. I'm buying him the Ortega burger.
Yes, sir. Do you remember the time you and I were there and Steve Cobb showed up with his lady and then you tricked him into buying for us also?
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing, a beautiful moment. It was touching.
Yes.
So, but Jenson Button being at Laguna Seca is going to be a great opportunity for an interview, Nasser.
Yeah, but you know, I've been there and these people are very well controlled and there's so much, it's very hard to get to anybody. You know, some years ago when Toyota was sponsoring this, they had John Watson, Alan Jones, Jean-Pierre Gerrier, quite a few people, and just media people say, no, you cannot talk to the drivers now, and they just would not. And of course, you know, since we had the good fortune of a media pass, we could go behind their back. So maybe you can go there and see if you can have a chat with JB.
I'll see what I can do, Nasser. You know, I always go every year. I have my special parking for F1Weekly.com only, so it can be exciting. And when, who knows, when Jenson Button sees that Citroën Traction Avant right next to the race control, he might be enticed to talk to moi.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but it was exciting when we interviewed Ricardo Zonta at Laguna Seca.
Yes, that was fun. And we've interviewed a lot of people there over the years. You know, Bobby Ray Hall, Bobby Unser, Mario Andretti. So it's been good for us. And now that I'm here on the other side of the USFA, it's going to be quite a haul for me to come there just for one interview.
It can be done.
But, you know, I have to be careful with my vacation time. I don't have a lot of vacation time at this place. And I've already burned a few days going to Daytona and Sebring. And other things are coming up, you know.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about more important things like this interview with IndyCar driver Mikhail Aloshin.
Mikhail Aloshin is from Moskva, also known as Moscow. He was 12th in the Long Beach Grand Prix on Sunday. His claim to fame is that he won the World Series by Renault some years ago, clinching the championship in the season finale, passing Daniel Ricciardo in the rain. And he is now the first Russian to race in IndyCar. We wish him all the best. We thank him. We say spasiba for his time in St. Pete. And hope our listeners will enjoy this conversation.
Okay, folks, I'm here with Mikhail Aloshin from Russia. Mikhail, good to meet you. How are you today, sir?
I'm perfect.
Okay. This is the opening race of the season. What are your expectations for this season?
Well, obviously my expectations are higher than the previous season. We showed that the team is very competitive, and I think that we can bring some good results to SMP car number 7 this year.
Honda versus Chevrolet, how would you rate your team's Honda power against Chevy this year?
Well, let's see. You know, the season just started, so no one knows exactly, you know, how it's going to be, but... last year, in the end of the year, I think Honda did great progress, so let's hope that we're going to keep the momentum.
Racing on ovals, how long it took you to be comfortable at high speeds at places like Fontana and Pocono, and of course the Big Daddy Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
I like ovals, so it didn't take me too long, I guess.
In European racing, you won Formula Renault 3.5 Championship over Daniel Ricciardo. What were the highs and lows of the season for you? When you won the World Series by Renault, what were the high points and low points during the season, apart from winning the championship?
Well, you're asking me the question about the championship, which was 7 years ago, so to be fair.
But any races stand out for you?
Obviously, the last race is the best race of the season for me, and because I won the championship. But there was some, there was some difficult races. Like for example, in Spa, where I think I finished P3, or I won it. I can't remember, but I had no belts because they came off. So I needed to drive like 5 laps around Spa-Francorchamps on a 600 horsepower car without the belts, but I still finished.
Okay, what was your first impression of Formula One car when you drove a Renault at Yas Marina Circuit in Abu Dhabi?
That wasn't my first impression of one car, because I drove Toro Rosso and the Red Bull before that. But Formula One is... at that time, so it was definitely, still unique, but it was a great experience, and I was really happy to be part of this test, and showed the good results. So it was a good experience.
Okay. You've also raced in GP2. What's the main difference between a GP2 car and a Formula Renault 3.5?
The main difference is that GP2 is coming in one weekend with Formula One, and the World Series has had its own weekend. That's the only and main difference. World Series is faster, GP2 is more fancy. But both of those categories were pretty competitive.
What is your opinion of the American racing scene and American racing fans?
What's my opinion on American racing?
Racing scene, overall racing scene?
Well, my opinion is great. It's the best racing I've been to so far. It's fair. It's very clear. Not a lot of political things here, like, you know, stewards thing and all the stuff, you know, but at the same time it's pretty unique, because IndyCar, you know, we are racing in three different tracks categories, like oval, street courses and road courses. You cannot find this kind of open wheel series in the world, which has so many different tracks and so much can give you so much experience as IndyCar. So that's why it's great.
Now, you mentioned you like ovals. You had a very serious accident at Fontana some years ago. Did you ever think of giving up racing when you were recovering?
No, never.
No pressure from the family?
From what?
No, any pressure from the family to give up racing?
No.
Okay, in terms of drivers in IndyCar racing and tracks, who do you think are the main, you know, like top challengers for the championship, and what track do you like most here?
Top who? Sorry?
Top drivers to fight for the championship.
Oh. Well, I mean, all the drivers who finished in top five at the end of the championship. Blair, do you get anything?
Yeah, when you're done.
Hello.
I'm just going to tell you to change it quickly. It's fine.
We're doing good.
We'll do the rear roll center. They tried the different rear, the different front rear there to lower the car. That was good. So we'll lower it to the raised rear roll center and do gears. And then we'll take out the next one. And then we didn't look more at the brakes.
You've had the migration, right?
Yeah, and he does have some looseness on it that he's not sure of. Would you rather take it out or start with that for you?
Well, we can go through the bone.
No, they have to reach in there and adjust this around.
Well, I think if we're going to go like half a way back, remember when we did the first step?
Yeah.
Let's do like this.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Okay. We can do that.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks,
that'll be it, and then we'll do the rear third, the rear third and the belly setup.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. St. Pete is a perfect place to... St. Pete is a perfect place to start the season. Wonderful Florida sunshine. What is your opinion of this track, and do you like racing on street circuits?
Well, I like street circuits a lot, yes. And St. Petersburg is definitely one of the tracks, one of the places you want to start the season. It's a great place. It's a lot of spectators, really nice weather, nice people and good atmosphere, but at the same time the track is very difficult, and we know that this year it got resurfaced, and we've got one more new corner here, turn three. The track has changed a bit from last year, so it can bring up some, you know, some interesting it can bring up something to the race, you know. We don't know yet at the moment or what it's going to be, but these changes will definitely, I don't know what how to call it in English, but it can change the race.
No problem. Okay, does IndyCar racing and your participation here get good coverage in Russian mainstream media? I was asking, does IndyCar racing and your participation here get good coverage in Russian media?
Yeah, I mean, IndyCar is getting more and more fans in Russia, because I mean, it's really great series, and the people get to know only Formula One originally, and now they also watch IndyCar and they can compare, and I think definitely they like IndyCar a lot, so it's getting bigger and bigger.
Do you have any plans or desire to help bring IndyCar race to Russia?
Let's say maybe it's a little bit early to think about it. Well, it's never early to think. Maybe it's a little bit too early to do it, but I always have a lot of ideas in my head.
Just my opinion, I think a street race in St. Petersburg would be awesome. What do you think?
Huh?
A street race in St. Petersburg, Russia would be awesome, I think.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we can do a race in St. Petersburg in Florida, and then a race in St. Petersburg in Russia, or something like this. I mean, it's we have a lot of things which are similar in our countries.
Okay, great. Now, I understand you are also in a rock Russian rock band. Do you ever play my favorite Russian song, Pod Moskovnaya Vechera?
Which song?
Pod Moskovnaya Vechera.
Moscow Nights? No.
Have you ever played any gigs here, you and your band, here in the United States?
No. I mean, I'm not playing so much in the last few years because I don't have time for that. Last year I played in a Rev Party in Indianapolis before Indy 500 with some local band up there. It was cool.
Okay, I really appreciate your time. Finally, would you like to say a message to our listeners? We have listeners all over the world. Anything you want to say about your website or yourself?
Well, I just want to say thanks to everybody who supports me and all the crew who is working in SMP Racing Car Number 7. It's great to have so much support, and thanks for watching.
Thank you very much.
Mikhail, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Give my regards to Putin. Nas, welcome back. That was exciting. And now we've got just a couple of 50 words on the Chinese Grand Prix. Leon Bray writes, rain, lack of practice running, and the indiscretion of new graduates spiced up the event, resulting in some varied strategy calls. Lots of overtaking without the use of DRS. Mad Max aced it on lap one, but his idiotic swerving when someone is trying to pass is going to cause a big issue one day. LCH was disappearing into the distance and was able to easily match the Ferrari when Seb got closer. Looks like Mercedes is just toying with them. Neon Zapper says, Leon Bray, something about blah, 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 and blah, blah. So there you have it. Let me tell you what everyone here seems to post after each race. It was a boring race. The last 10 laps were the only excitement. If this is all we keep hearing from this forum, then why do the members bother watching? I doubt anyone could post that after this race, but anything is possible. And Eric 4OK. I did find it amusing that both Hamilton and Vettel gushed about the fantastic rivalry and competition that they were experiencing. Maybe I missed it, but didn't Lewis lead start to finish? What competition? Lastly, the podium ceremony provided some additional humor when Lewis called Max this guy. Vettel had to remind him Max is his name, Max. Max then answered, you always call me that guy. Remember, in Australia, Lewis complained, I can't pass this guy. I really think Lewis didn't know Max's name until Vettel told him what it was. So there you have it. Just a couple here, a couple there. Nasser, keep up the good work. And I sort of agree, you know, Lewis Hamilton led from start to finish. There was no rivalry. I don't see any. And what I really don't like is the hugging and kissing between Vettel and LCH. This must stop.
Well, this will stop, you know, when they crash and one of them does not. I'll tell you, man, if any of these drivers make a mistake or do something among themselves and one of them is a DNF and the other goes on to win the race, those 25 points, with cars being so reliable, will be very hard to claw back. I mean, granted, the season is very long, but they need to be careful.
I agree, but we do need some kind of, you know, somebody doing something Senna Prost-like.
No, sooner or later they will collide. I mean, it happened with Lewis and Nico, and so that will happen. We're going to have some more bizarre races, you know, where rain will create problem for one person or the other, and then we'll see.
I have one question. Do you think Kimi Raikkonen will win a race this year?
You know, something tells me he will, and I'll be very happy to see him win again, but I think he will. I think Ferrari, you know, they may not have... Lewis can edge Seb in qualifying because, you know, the guy is brute force of speed, but I think in the race trim, Seb is very good, and I think Ferrari is also, at least this year, is very competitive. And but my concern with Lewis is always, you know, making a silly mistake in qualifying that puts him back, or, you know, trying to do something that could have been waited for another lap or two. But we'll see. But it's amazing, you know, if Seb wins, he is a 5-time world champion. And Lewis wins, he is a 4-time world champion. And there are not many drivers out there who have 4 or 5 championships. Very few.
Well, I think you're completely wrong about Kimi. He's not going to win nothing. It's over for him. But I do believe that Verstappen wins in Bahrain.
Do you think, now let me turn the question on you, do you think Bottas will win a race?
No. I've decided already. This man, he is not the flying Finn.
No, he will win a race. I think he will win more than one race.
Okay. Ortega Burger on that? Or in-flight burrito?
How about both?
Let's do it. Let's shake on it. Rock and roll, dude. Keep up the good work, Nass. I want to thank all the listeners who put up with this. Good night.
Yes, thank you for your support. Bye-bye.
Man, but no one understands him but his woman,
John Jack.